Good morning. You are tuned to KBBI Homer. The time is 9:03 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this is the coffee table. This morning, it's depression and mental health outreach. It is that time of the year. Coffee table invites mental health care providers and counselors and people from the community to come on to the show about this time every year. And today is that day. So I want to, let's see who is on the tie line. First, Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. Do you hear me?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Oh, hooray, and good morning. And also on that link, Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Kathleen.
Sweet. And moving over to the tie line, I have Sierra Moschios from The Rec Room. Good morning.
Hey, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. And Lisa Fellows, school counselor from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Are you there?
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, because we are all assembled and coming through loud and clear. But that basic introduction isn't quite enough, because I would very much like to have you guys briefly introduce yourselves. I'm going to start with Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. Jay, can you talk a little bit about who you are, introduce yourself, and talk about what you do at South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services?
Sure thing, Kathleen. Thanks. Ian, my name's Jay, and I work over at SPBHS. For the last 30-plus years, I've worked in the field of mental health and substance abuse recovery. And now I just help run the center and try and make sure that people in the community know that we're available to help them with any of their issues. And I try and stay out of the way of the people that do the real hard work on the front lines.
And who are those people who do the work front lines for you?
So we have clinicians, they're licensed therapists, therapists in training. We have psychiatrists and nurse practitioners. We have case managers and most importantly, our DSPs, who are the frontline workers that are doing the day-to-day work in person with our clients in the community, in their homes, in the schools, and providing that service.
Thank you so much. That's Jay Bechtel. Lisa Fellows, if we're following alphabetical order, is a school counselor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Lisa, can you talk a little bit about where you work and what you're doing?
Yeah, I work at Homer Middle School, and this year at Homer High School. And I'm the school counselor for the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade students.
Thanks so much. And I've got lots of questions for you, actually for all of you. But let's move on to Sierra Moschios from The Rec Room. And Sierra, how does The Rec Room fall into all this?
The Rec Room it stands for Resource Enrichment Co-op. It's a place for teens to come after school and hang out and socialize and have a safe space to be. I am the Rec Room coordinator, so I'm in charge of all things fun and all the programming that we do here.
Also, you have a team of peer educators, don't you?
I do. Right now, I have 4. We just hired a new one last week. And we're all meeting over Zoom right now.
Okay, we'll get a little more in-depth with that in a few minutes, because I also want to introduce Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. Good morning, Irene. Can you introduce yourself, talk about what you do?
Sure, yeah. So my name's Irene. I'm a social worker, and I am one of the owners, partners of Full Spectrum Health. We've got a clinic in Anchorage, but we also just opened this clinic here in Homer. We have multiple mental health clinicians. We have a psychiatrist that does med management. We have a few different other medical practitioners. We do groups via Zoom, and then we also do gender care. So hormone treatments for people who are experiencing, some type of gender dysphoria, and also just other medical procedures.
Thanks, Irene, and welcome to everyone. The first question, I'm going to start with Sierra from the rec room, Sierra Moskios. How has COVID changed the way you do your work? Because the first thing you introduced yourself as was, you know, when you were talking about the rec room, it's a place for people to gather. But I don't expect it is a place for people to gather right now, is it?
Unfortunately, right now, no, there is no gathering occurring. We are open for one-on-one interactions. So if a teen needs some support, they can come and ring our doorbell with a mask on and we can come out and assess what they need and then go from there. But no gathering right now. We are doing a lot of virtual hangouts on Zoom. We have an LGBTQ plus group. We have a middle school hangout on Zoom, and then we have our general Thursday hangout for ages 12 to 18, where we do a lot of different things. This week, we're going to be doing some vent art.
What kind of art?
Virtual right now in my world.
What kind of art did you talk about? Did you say?
Venting art. Oh. So any kind of emotion that youth might be feeling in the moment, they're going to get it out on paper and share it.
Well, I'm going to come for that one.
I was just about to say, let's all make sure we make it for that. And that's Thursdays at what time?
That's Thursdays from 5 until 6.
Thanks. And Irene from Full Spectrum Health, Irene Saxton, what is, how are you guys working with clients or just anyone who walks in the door? How are you working with them during COVID?
Yeah, it definitely has changed, Kathleen. So we do a lot of Zoom and telehealth right now. We see clients from all over Alaska, which is, you know, the only nice thing about COVID is that it really has expanded the ability for people to access services all over rural Alaska when, you know, there could be people in villages that don't have a lot of mental health support. But now that we are able to see people from all over, it really has expanded access, which has been fantastic. We do offer in-person visits if clients go through a COVID screening, masks, and then we do temperature checks as well. And so we have found that a lot of our clients are really seeking social interaction. And sometimes the one therapy session that we have with our clients is the only time that people actually see another human being. And we realize that that can be contributing to some of these negative mental health issues that are happening, you know, and so we like to be able to offer that to people. But yeah, it's definitely been a challenge, but we've been able to make it work for sure.
Thanks. And I saved Lisa Fellows, school counselor for Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, for last, because it's a great transition to talking about remote learning and students and parents being in close quarters right now. How has COVID changed the way you work as a school counselor?
Well, I think the first thing is I just want to be thankful that we had the first quarter in person. We were able to build relationships. So going to second quarter remotely made it a little easier. We have synchronous classes.
What does that mean?
Zoom meetings. Oh, synchronous classes means that we have classes all at the same time.
Oh.
For instance, if someone were in person, the same time of classes, for instance, your first period class is still first period class.
Oh, I see what you mean. So you're following the same schedule.
Yeah.
And that helps give people a sense of normalcy in a place where nothing is particularly normal right now?
One would hope that's true. But I do know it's a little stressful to be on the computer the whole time.
Sure. Now, if anybody has any questions for the panelists or comments about dealing with depression and general mental health issues, then Chloe is standing by to take your phone call. The number is 235-7721. You don't have to go to air, but you can if you want, or you can just, Chloe can just write down your question and Google chat it right into the air studio. So it's 235-7721. You can either go to air or leave your question, or you can email questions to kathleen@kbbi.org. Now, remote learning has put parents and students in close quarters right now. And Lisa Fellows, I'm going to stay with you and then move back to the other panelists, because when we were sound checking, you said something very interesting to me, which is that I was trying to focus all my understanding and outreach on students, and they deserve it, but that parents are in the same boat right now. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, there really hasn't been a day that goes by that I haven't talked to a parent who's been crying. It's overwhelming. And because of that, Homer Middle School is going to be hosting a Zoom meeting for parents on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And Carrie Dendrant will host that. If someone wants a Zoom link, they can contact her at 235-5701.
Okay. Now, I want to extend that to, let's start with, back to Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. What are you, like, are you seeing clients that are, like, how are you dealing with, or what are you recommending to people who are dealing with the remote learning situation with parents and students in such close quarters, with the added stress of not being able to go see your friends at school, that sort of thing?
Sure. I mean, it is challenging. We, like all the other agencies that spoke, we've gone primarily remote, and we were doing many services in the schools where our staff would be in the school sites helping in the classroom with specific kids that had specific needs. We have a building that we operate that we're using as a support school, and we allow our kids with the higher needs to meet with one of our staff members. And so they come out of the home, they come to our lakeside building, and they can spend an hour or 2 hours with one of our staff working on school remotely, but in a setting with maybe one other kid and maybe a few of our staff members. So we're doing that. We're working closely with the parents, trying to make sure our parents have the technology they need. So if the school district is handing out technology, we also have technology that we can share to make sure that families can stay connected, because the connective piece is hard. I think it was Irene talking about how this has been so impactful on rural access. But part of the problem with the rural access is some of those rural places don't have the internet connection. So the challenges there are, how do we get those kids and those families connected when they don't even have the necessary infrastructure to do so? And we have a group of staff here that are committed to making sure that we're reaching out and connecting with those people in person. But it's been challenging for parents, and for, I'm sure, the people on this panel as well that are parents, as they're trying to navigate doing their jobs in a new way, arguing over computer space while their kids are trying to log on to school while they're doing a radio interview. So the best thing we keep telling people is to stay connected, control those things that you can control, and recognize when there's things that you can't control and move on from them. Don't dwell on those, because those will stick in your mind, and then you'll get stuck in that position instead of being able to move forward. Those are some of the things we're trying.
Well, thanks. That's Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. And I think I have a caller. Oh, no, I don't think that caller is for us. But that means I want to expand this part of the discussion to Sierra from the Rec Room. Sierra, how do you stay in contact? Are you sending out a newsletter? Are parents calling you? Is it mostly like you're getting texts from students? Or Do you send out like a newsletter or anything?
Right now the rec room doesn't have a newsletter, but Kachemak Bay Family Planning Clinic does, and they keep all things rec room on there and what we're up to and what we're doing on their newsletter. If you are a parent and you want to call me, I welcome your call. You can call me at 235-3436. Right now, what I'm hearing from a lot of teens and how they're getting a hold of me is through social media. We have two Instagram handles and a Facebook account. And that's how I outreach. That's how I tell people about what's going on at the rec room. And those two Instagrams are Rec Room Homer and Homer Peer Eds. And I am constantly posting tips and tricks, and so are our peer eds. One of our peer educators, Maya Kelly, the other day posted about maskne and how to deal with maskne. Or are you feeling stressed? Come to our vent hangout. And that's how a lot of teens are getting our Zoom links for our hangouts, is through social media. Not getting a lot of phone calls right now.
Thanks, Sierra. Now, Ingrid has brought in a question. It's on my list of questions for today, but let's get right to it. Ingrid wants to know from each of you the tips or suggestions for parents about changes in behavior or mental health to be aware of. Because there are two parts that I want to ask for this question to open up this discussion, because there are the people who might reach out to you and ask for help, but then there are also the people in your life that might not reach out, and you might be noticing things, changes in their behavior that are concerning for you. So I want to start, can I start with Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health, and then we'll go back up the list. Can you talk about tips or suggestions for parents about changes in behavior to be aware of?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, we work with a lot of parents, like a lot of people do here on this panel. And it is a very stressful and challenging time to be able to either be at work all day, because, you know, not everybody can stay home. There are a lot of working families out there that don't have that choice. So sometimes you have to have your kiddos be on their own at doing their Zoom school at home, or the parents are at home, which can cause other challenges, being in a shared space, you know, trying to do Zoom meetings while your kiddos are running in. Like, I've definitely had that happen. I've been in a session and my child runs in and tells me she needs to poop. So it's, you know, it's lovely. You know, anything that's out of the ordinary is something that you want to look for. If you've got a kiddo that is, you know, always excited and engaged in things, and then they start, you know, not wanting to get out of bed, sleeping extra, not engaging in social activities, not talking to their friends, not texting their friends, that can be definitely something to look out for. If they stop wanting to, even eating regular meals can be a sign of depression, or a sign of just something is off, because when we're feeling off, we just, a lot of times we lose appetite. So I think that is definitely something to watch out for. A decrease in schooling and doing Zoom classes and all that stuff could be a sign to look out for, but it also is tricky because I know that a lot of kids are struggling doing online learning right now.
Right, so, that's a tough one to gauge right now.
Yeah, but I'd say that just trying to keep an open line of communication with kids, you know, being honest about it, being honest about your own feelings, saying, yeah, I'm frustrated too. This is hard for me. I haven't seen my friends. I haven't been able to engage in A, B, or C. So I get it. This is hard. Let's talk about it. Let's do something as a family. I've seen so many families ice skating now on Beluga Lake, which is so awesome. So just engaging socially with family and with friends as much as possible, while staying safe, of course.
And thanks. That's Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. I hear you in the amen corner over there.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to add?
Everything Irene said.
Yeah. And go ahead.
It's really good advice. It's the more you can open those communication lines, like she said, and make sure that people feel comfortable saying, I don't feel good and my brain doesn't feel good. It's easy for kids to say, I have a tummy ache or my toe hurts. It's harder for kids to learn to say, I feel sad, I feel scared, and be taken seriously. So not only do kids, well, not just kids, adults have to learn how to say those things. People have to learn how to hear those things so that when your child, your spouse, your partner, your next door neighbor 3 days in a row says, I'm feeling sad, you don't dismiss that. You try and get them to recognize their need for help. Just like if they came out 3 days in a row and said, you know, my stomach's been hurting for 3 days in a row. Have you gone to the doctor? Same thing. You know, if 3 days in a row you're not feeling good, you can't get out of bed. Have you gone to the doctor? Have you gone to see a professional? Don't be afraid of asking those questions. And that's a challenge because people get very nervous about talking about mental health. They think it's a very private, scary thing, and it's not. It's a very normal, natural thing that happens, as most of your listeners probably right now are experiencing in some capacity in their lives. So yeah, so I think what Irene said carries great weight, and just be practice, learn to get comfortable talking about these kinds of things. It's really gonna help.
Thanks so much. And Lisa Fellows, school counselor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. What are you looking for at this point? Irene was just pointing out that, you know, it's kind of tough to gauge as a signal or a flag for depression that school performance is off because school has changed so much right now. Everyone's still just trying to get their feet. What are you, or do you mostly deal with students who are directly like reaching out to you, or what are you looking for in terms of who you need to reach out to?
I just want to say that Irene is right on, and we see that for sure. If kids are not showing up for Zoom, we're concerned about that. An A student who has B's or lower, we're concerned about that. I get phone calls from friends or texts or emails from friends who are concerned about their friends. And we follow up on that. I'm sending weekly emails to every student and asking them to be in touch with me. And if they aren't, then I get to contact them more.
Okay.
You know, we have a new webpage and a new virtual counseling office that we just unleashed this week. And I'm hopeful that will also be helpful.
Oh, great. Well, I will stay in touch with me. And when that page is live, let me know and we'll let people know about it. So if you have, okay. We were just, Jay from the center was just talking about how it's difficult for people to talk about mental health issues, which is now when I tell you to call in. We don't usually get a lot of calls when the topic is mental health and depression. For that very reason, because there's a stigma. And so you're welcome to call 235-7721 and leave your question with Chloe or Josh, who are answering phones right now. Or if you want to come to air with tips or suggestions or any kind of question, we can put you to air as well, and you can talk to the panelists. Now, I do want to start. I left out Sierra in that go-round. Sierra, I want you to, if you have anything to add to Ingrid's question about tips or suggestions for parents about changes in behavior or mental health to be aware of.
Right. I mean, it's ideal if your teen comes to you and is saying, hey, I'm feeling suicidal right now. That might not be the case. They might just not and most likely won't come out and say that to you. When you notice that they're withdrawn, they're not doing things that they normally do, they don't find joy in the things they normally find joy in. Like Lisa was saying, if their grades are dropping and they're normally really dedicated to school, keep your eye out for that and believe them. Believe everything that your teen is saying to you, whether you're skeptical or you maybe think they're just seeking attention. Believe everything, everything, everything that your teen is showing and saying to you. Direct them to professional services. If you know that they are feeling suicidal and that they may hurt themselves, make a plan for the next 24 hours and make sure that they have safe supervision. And it's not your job to determine that they are really actually depressed or suicidal, but it's your job to make sure that they're okay and that they're safe.
Right. And remind yourself that it's, if someone comes to you, that often the reason why people deny, oh, that's fine, you're a child, this doesn't happen to kids, or you're always, you know, you're just a little down, take a walk, you'll be fine. A lot of that response is fear on the person who's, you know, who's giving that advice because of not knowing what to say. So I really appreciate you all being here today for that purpose.
And Kathleen, I wanted to add one more thing.
Go ahead. That's Lisa Fellows from the school district.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm actually really impressed with students and their parents on how they're able to talk about suicide now. You know, parents are asking their children daily, are you feeling suicidal? Do I need to get help for you? 15 years ago, I don't think we would have had those open conversations.
Yep, you're right, Lisa.
Right, and also, it's very timely. There have been there's a lot of talk about suicides within the school district, and so was there a direct outreach? It was so easy before. You know, counselors went to school when there was a suicide at a school. And certainly not an easy problem to address, but at least you had, the plan was there. You could go there bodily and be there for people.
You know, Kathleen, I think that social media has been wonderful. You know, there's the Twitter account, Be The One Too, that gives people ideas of how to help other people. We have the suicide hotline. People are reaching out.
Awesome. So I thank you for reminding me of that, Lisa Fellows. It's time for 2-minute dance break, which is in the interest of mental health. We're going to take a short break, little 2-minute dance break. When we come back, we'll have the panelists will still be here. Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services, Lisa Fellows, school counselor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Sierra Moschios from the Rec Room, and Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. Everybody dance for 2 minutes.